any lane there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go stop and say hello. On the corner is a banker with a motor car, the little children laughing at him.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about today, that is for sure. We have an open line for the first hour leading up to the news at 10 o'clock. Then Carol Lewis, who's the president of the National Council of Negro Women, will be by. And they've got some interesting things they want to share with you. Then just after the news at 10:30, we'll visit with Bruce Weber about the Ultimate Basketball Challenge coming up tonight. And by the way, if you were at the basketball banquet last night, or if you weren't there, let me tell you that there's a lot of stuff on IlliniHQ.com. Ed Bond recorded some things with Coach Weber and the seniors, and that's up there. They've got Tate's column. They've got photographs and so on. And a lot of other things happening as well. As you know by now, you've heard plenty of this, I'm sure, that Blagojevich has pleaded not guilty, wants to be dumped into Puerto Rico or Costa Rica or someplace down there to take part in a reality TV show. And you thought this couldn't get any more bizarre. Well, it gets more and more bizarre with each passing day with that guy. And to add to all this zaniness, Michael Vick now wants a documentary about himself to, quote, make amends for the past. So he's trying to entice some people to do a documentary about him. And the here locally, the family of a man shot by police gets a lawyer. The family says there are just too many ambiguities. Story about that in the News Gazette this morning. Yesterday we had a conversation about the president and how he handled the pirate hostage situation. And at least one gentleman named Joe thought it was awful. And he doesn't like the way Obama's doing things. And he and I had a little conversation about what Rush Limbaugh thought about that. Well, last night I was surfing the net a little bit and came up with a very interesting column written by Ed Rollins. You know who Ed Rollins is? He's the longtime Republican political director for Ronald Reagan. And he praised Obama for the way he handled the pirate hostage deal. And I'll tell you about that as we go along. Last night on Facebook, I got a tremendous surprise with a nice note from Mary Eggers. Remember Mary Eggers? One of the greatest volleyball players ever at the University of Illinois. 1989 Honda Award Player of the Year. That goes to the very best player in the nation. She's now the head coach at Elon University out east, and nice to hear from Mary. But I want to start out today with something I learned about just a little while ago. This has to do with the University of Illinois School of Music and some of the decisions they are making that are not sitting very well with two of my favorite groups, the University of Illinois Marching Illini, for one, and more recently, the Varsity Men's Glee Club. There is a website, and the address is savemensglee.com. Savemensglee.com, and it'll tell you all about it. But basically, the Varsity Men's Glee Club is being shabbily treated, it appears to me, by the School of Music. Here's the letter that went out to the alums. On this website, they say, "We are a group of alumni and former officers of the Varsity Men's Glee Club at the University of Illinois, and we are concerned. We're concerned that the Varsity Men's Glee Club may be facing the biggest crisis of its nearly 125-year history. The situation threatens the continued existence of this beloved organization as an integral, relevant part of the historic tradition of the University of Illinois. The letter goes on to say, did you know that the Glee Club is down to only 35 members? 35 members performing at the fall 2008 Dad's Day concert. Two, that the School of Music has a new policy implemented at the beginning of the 2008-2009 academic year, under which a U of I student cannot elect to try out for the Varsity Men's Glee Club. Instead, any student wishing to sing in any chorus at Illinois must audition before a panel of music faculty, who then assigns the student to whichever chorus the panel feels is the best match for the student's talents and capabilities, not on the basis of the personal preference of the student. So can you see the problem here? For all these years, we've had this magnificent Glee Club under the direction of William Olson for so many years, and now under the direction of Dr. Barrington Coleman. And it's been one of the great ambassadors of the University of Illinois of any organization that I know. And now the School of Music is treating the Men's Glee Club as a third-tier choir. Tier 2, the concert choir. Tier 1, the chamber singers. But the problem, it seems to me, is that, and the Glee Club took great pride in getting not only music majors, but students from all over the University of Illinois wanted to be in the Glee Club. They would go audition. If they were good enough singers, they could go to the Glee Club. Now they have to go audition, and a group, a bureaucratic group, a faculty group will decide, no, you're not qualified, or you wouldn't fit as well in the Glee Club as you would in the concert choir or the chamber singers, or not at all. Do you know that under the new auditions policy, every member of the Varsity Men's Glee Club, as well as every other choir, must re-audition every year and is subject to being reassigned to a different choir every year, including a higher tier choir if the singer is deemed to be too talented for the Glee Club? In other words, the Glee Club director does not control who gets into the Glee Club or who stays in the Glee Club. That music majors assigned initially to the Glee Club will be expected to progress and improve so that they may rapidly be reassigned up and out to one of the higher tier choirs. That the reassignment rule provides no exceptions for individuals who are Glee Club officers or chairmen or members of the small ensembles like the other guys. Unfortunately, all these statements are true. If you're surprised to learn this, it may occur to you that one reason this is news to you is that the Glee Club has not been communicating with its alumni very well in recent years, another troubling sign that things are not going well in the Glee Club country. The purpose of this letter is to get you involved. This is the letter went out to alums. The Glee Club needs a bailout. And this is not the kind of battle that the Glee Club director and current members can fight alone. This letter is only one of many initiatives that were put into motion after a large group of Glee Club alumni, more than 90, recently gathered on campus for a reunion and learned about the current situation. They believe it is time for the Varsity Men's Glee Club alums to speak up loud and clear. Let the School of Music faculty and the campus administration and the Alumni Association leaders know how important the Varsity Men's Glee Club is to us and to the University of Illinois. Tell them your own experiences and what the Glee Club meant to you and what it means to you now. It is vital that something needs to be done to prevent the downgrading and destruction of the Glee Club. Well, this goes on. There's more to it. I won't read it all to you. Just let me say that the School of Music and Dr. Barrington Coleman, who is the director of the Glee Club, have set up a meeting for current and past members of the Varsity Men's Glee Club with Dr. Carl Kramer and other members of the School of Music Administration. This meeting will be at 3 o'clock on April the 25th in the Choral Rehearsal Room at the Granite Center for the Performing Arts, directly preceding the Varsity Men's Glee Club's spring concert. Other campus officials may also show up. So this letter and this note is out to Varsity Men's Glee Club alums, but I'm telling you, all those of you listening this morning that are disturbed by this, as I am, you should get in touch with the School of Music and Dr. Kramer and the Chancellor Richard Herman and the President Joe White and or any member of the Board of Trustees and tell them this is bad stuff. You are on the verge, School of Music, of eliminating one of the best ambassadors of goodwill that the university has. Two of them, as a matter of fact, the Marching Illini and the Men's Glee Club. We'll talk more about that as we get more information, but as you know, we play a lot of stuff on the air from the Varsity Men's Glee Club, and I've been a lover of this organization for many, many years, starting back in the days that Bill Olson was the director. We've had the Varsity Men's Glee Club sing at our tents, at the football games. My wife and I and my family have been to the concerts. It's just wonderful, and now they're about to screw it up, it appears. So let's not let them do that. Let's get on to this and get a hold of some people over there and tell them what you think. And in the meantime, tell them that Pete Griffin and the Marching Illini are doing a heck of a good job, too. Leave them alone. Help them out. Let them perform at the same level they have for all these years. We'll take a break here. We're coming right back. Phone lines open, 356-9397, 1-800-223-9397. Our email address is talk@wdws.com. Back in a moment. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. This is an open line. And we go to Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Yeah, hey, didn't you know there's not supposed to be any glee in music?
Is that right?
Well, that's what it seems like. Ambassadors to the community, you don't want any organization bigger than the Department of Music, the Glee Club or the Marching Illini.
Listen, that is you hit it right on the... You may be doing this tongue-in-cheek, but you hit it right on the nose. They feel, I don't know, that they are second tier compared to the Glee Club and the Marching Illini, and, you know, what about our concert choir, and what about all this and that? And that's all good, but that's an entirely different thing. These two groups are so visible that they really are ambassadors for the University of Illinois, and if there is any bringing down of either one of those organizations, I think it's a huge mistake.
Well, I don't think they understand the asset that they are. They see it as a detriment, like you just said, to the other. But I'm curious. Now, I have not heard the other situation. You mentioned the Marching Illini. I haven't been able to hear you over the last week. What was the what's the situation?
Well,
with
I'm not at liberty to talk about that. But I've talked to Pete Griffin, and I've talked to various other people. And they've got some concerns with the School of Music. Just let me leave it that way. And if I ever learn more and I can say it publicly, I will.
Well,
but
take
my word for it that they're not real happy over there.
I'm a big, big, big fan of the Marching Illini, and they do so many. I'm sure it's probably related. They do so many events that are not right on campus, that are outreach sort of situations, which most departments of the University of Illinois are overjoyed at any outreach they can do, and I'm sure it's probably related to that too, similar to the Glee Club. But I think the Marching Illini are just, I mean, they're such a fine organization, and they do so many things. Well, what you said, they're just so visible to the community. I'm sure that's what bothers.
Well, they perform here in front of 60,000 fans, and they go on the road and perform. They've been to various places outside the community performing. They have their own concert at the Assembly Hall every year, which is a sold-out deal. And I don't know, maybe some people in the School of Music feel like that, they're getting too much ink or they're getting too much publicity or something. I don't know.
Well, good academics see things like that as an asset and see and like to see their programs advance and don't see it as a challenge to other parts of their program, but rather an enhancement.
Here's the deal about the Glee Club, and I think the same thing goes with the Marching Illini, is that people want to be in that, and some of these people are engineering students, some are in LAS or someplace. They're not all music people, but they can sing and they can play, and they go audition and they get picked or they don't get picked. And now the School of Music evidently wants to have a tiered situation with the three choirs and with the and they want to have, I call it a bureaucratic panel. I don't even know who was on that panel, but they say, okay, well, you're not good enough for this choir, so you can be in the Glee Club, or you're too good now, you can't sing in the Glee Club any longer, you have to sing up in the concert choir if you want to sing at all.
Well, I've seen that in other academic situations where they don't like people from out of their department. They want to control everything that people do. And as far as the Glee Club and the band, there are people who want to be in those, who want to get other degrees and things, and I think that's just that's one of the greatest things about college, and
absolutely
want to control
right.
All the students
and
so much.
Anybody listening that agrees with any of this, or if you disagree, you really ought to talk to somebody over at the School of Music. The name that they list on their website is Dr. Carl Kramer, and it wouldn't hurt to talk to the chancellor or send the president a letter or something.
One thing I do know is there's been some administrative shifting at the Department of Music.
That's when it all began, I was told. I don't know. I don't know these people, and I'm not trying to say anything about somebody I don't know, but there has been a change in administration or a change in responsibilities or something, and that evidently is when some of this began. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Bob. And we go to Alan. Hello, Alan.
Yeah, Jim. It sounds like this is another case of another department head trying to get rid of another tradition of Illinois. But,
they probably don't want them to play Oski Wawa either.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting to. It seems like the administrations are trying to take away all traditions of Illinois of 100 years ago and stuff. And as far as going to the chancellor and president, I wouldn't trust him any farther back to him. I think Chancellor Herman is pretty two-faced. I know you've had him on before, and he always says, oh, yeah, I want to keep the chief. I want to keep this. I want to keep that. But I don't see him doing anything. I don't think he has the power to do anything, or does he want to?
Well, the power ultimately for most everything rests with the Board of Trustees, of course.
And I never realized how important electing, or we used to be able to elect, Board of Trustees was.
Yep,
because these are the people that hire the outside people like Cantor and White and Michigan, and they could care less about the traditions of Illinois. They've already proven that.
Well, I don't know if it's the fact that they don't care. It's the fact that they don't know about it. I mean, you can tell them and tell them, but you had to live this. I mean, how long has this gone on that the Marching Illini and the Glee Club have been such intricate parts of the University of Illinois. Now, listen, I'm getting too steamed up about this, so I need to move on, Alan, but thanks for the call. We'll take a break. We're coming right back. All right, we're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. The phone lines are open. We've been talking to people off the air about this situation with the School of Music and the Glee Club and the Marching Illini. And if you have any affection for either one of those groups, you better get a hold of this guy over at the School of Music and tell him to change the way he's doing things. Carl Kramer is his name. Dr. Carl Kramer is his name. It's a bad situation. There are people all over the world that have been in these bands and these glee clubs, and not all of them are music majors. They should not have to be subjected to the same kind of scrutiny or same kind of assignment to one choir or another as maybe music majors should be. But if you want to be in the Glee Club and you're good enough and you audition, you ought to be in it. The same for the Marching Illini. Not have some bureaucrat decide who's going to be in the band and who's going to be in the Glee Club. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. I was leaving town yesterday, and I missed your show, and I guess there was some discussion about the cost of rings for the Champaign Centennial boys basketball team for winning. And can you fill me in the exact numbers? Is it $5,000 total for all the rings, or is it $5,000 for just some of them and it'll be more? Or what is the exact figure?
Well, I had it yesterday, but I don't have it today, I don't think, unless I've kept it here someplace. But
well, I was wondering, is this even legal to take school board funds and buy jewelry and give it to just certain people? You got a lot of smart people in your audience, smarter than I am, that can probably answer that. But
well, there were a lot of people on the school board. There was quite a discussion about this, and at least one board member said, "You know, we're very proud of the Centennial basketball team, but they did get medals and they did get a trophy from the IHSA. And where do you stop?" If you start giving rings to people who win the championship, what if your debate team wins the championship, or your music? How about if your band wins the state championship, or a drama group, a theater group? Maybe they win some kind of an award. Can you give everybody rings? But anyway, they voted to do it, and it's going to go to, as I remember, Centennial, and Jefferson won a state championship, and I can't remember. It seemed to me like the figure was the one you mentioned, somewhere around the $5,000.
Well, it just makes me sorry that I voted yes for the 1% tax increase, if that's the way they're going to be spending the money. Mm-hmm. It just irritates me. If the band boosters want to buy their band members something, fine. If the athletic boosters want to buy them rings, okay. But don't be using school funds to buy rings for certain groups. That's not right.
Okay, Joe, thanks. I appreciate your comment, sir. Well, yesterday we had a conversation about Obama and whether he made the right call on the rescue, the business between the pirates and the Navy SEALs and the captain hostage. And at least one person was very critical of Obama and said that Rush Limbaugh was as well, and I disagreed with him on that because I had heard Rush, and Rush said the president did the right thing. Last night, I go to CNNpolitics.com, and there's a story in there about Ed Rollins. Ed Rollins, a senior political contributor to CNN, was the political director for President Ronald Reagan and chairman of the National Republican Congressional Committee. Here's what he says. President Obama's authorization of Saturday's hostage rescue of Captain Richard Phillips and the justified killing of the three Somali pirates by Navy SEAL sharpshooters took real courage and was certainly the right decision. Anything less, and his administration would have been second-guessed, and the military high command would have been left to wonder what kind of man was leading our nation and our military. A brave American hero's life was at stake, and the President and the Navy made the right decisions. There are and will be many things our new President and I will disagree on, but so far I applaud what he has done regarding our armed services. His first decision to keep Secretary of Defense Robert Gates was the best he could make. Gates is one of the finest public servants this country has ever had, and his service to Democratic and Republican presidents has been outstanding. Then Rollins closes the piece by saying, "The bottom line is the president has a first-rate team of advisors, and he followed their counsel in this hostage crisis. There will be many more tests to come for the president and his team, but the message from this event is that you harm or capture an American anywhere in the world, you will pay a heavy price. As one American, I can just say thank you, Mr. President." That was from Ed Rollins, so he disagrees with the people yesterday that were blaming Obama or saying he didn't do the right thing or whatever. And now we got Blagojevich again. Oh, my goodness. So our indicted former governor wants court permission to travel to Costa Rica to take part in a reality TV show. He would get up to, listen to this, $80,000 an episode. And we hear he needs the money, reading from the Sun-Times. As connoisseurs of that particular brand of entertainment, we can't think of a better match. Listen to the secret tape recordings of our former governor's backroom dealing, an essential skill on such shows. Imagine how he might shake down another contestant for a little extra coconut juice for breakfast. His gift for salty language would only add to his Chicago street credibility and make him a colorful viewer favorite. And Blagojevich has great personal experience with the central storyline of most reality TV shows, the one in which you become fast friends with people, then they stab you in the back. He was buddies with his former chiefs of staff, John Harris and Lon Monk, and one of his top fundraisers, businessman Tony Resco. Now all three old pals are set to testify against him. Oh, the drama. Oh, the betrayal. Only his hair is miscast. All that Costa Rican humidity. Oh, what's he going to do next? NBC wants to cast him in this reality TV show, and he has to get permission from the court to leave the country. He had to give up his passport when he was arrested. It's going to be called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Oh, my goodness. Vince, good morning.
Good morning. That was pretty funny. Anyway,
he's a pretty funny guy.
Yeah, I'd have to say
he's a nutcase.
Yeah, I don't understand, but you know, I guess it takes all kinds.
It sure does.
I wanted to know if you all had talked about the event that's supposed to take place at our public school system here on Friday. Have you all talked about that?
I don't know what event you're talking about.
There's a day of silence. And it's been happening every year for the last, I want to say since 2001.
Uh-huh.
And it's where, you know, the students are silent in protest to their right to be homosexual or gay or anything of that nature. And I know 2 years ago my sons said they didn't want to participate in it, and they were sent to the office with DRs.
What's it called?
It's called the Day of Silence.
Day of Silence.
Yes, sir. April 17th is National Day of Silence. It's sponsored by a political group called GLESEN, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. And if you go to Centennial High School, right about now they have all types of, you know, like when they do Black History Month, they have Frederick Douglass and Martin Luther King. On the walls, you find Ellen DeGeneres and different, you know, celebrities that are gay and lesbian. And so, basically, if you are against it and you speak out against it, there seems to be a problem with it. So a lot of people are opting to leave their children home on that day that think that it's wrong. And my point or my thought on this is that it's a learning institution. And I think we should go back to allowing it to be a learning institution and not a political entanglement. You know, I was told, well, you could have a Christian club. We got enough churches around here. We can go to church. But I think we ought to leave the political stuff out of the school because it has to be a distraction for our children to be able to learn during school hours, especially if you don't agree with that type of lifestyle. But it's in our schools. And our taxpayer dollars, like they were saying about the rings, is going to support something like that. And I just think it's wrong. So that's my thought.
Okay. Well, thank you, Vince. I don't know much about that. I'm glad you told me about it. I'll look into it some more. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Leatrice, good morning.
Good morning. Well, first of all, why aren't they teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic? Secondly, I've never heard of that organization. I'm glad to hear about it. Secondly, as far as our ex-governor, I think he ought to just be inside of jail, period.
Well, he might be, but he gets a trial first.
Well, yes, of course. But while he's in jail, if he wants to be artistic about making license plates, he might tackle that. But I think he ought to just be in jail after his trial. So anyway, that's my thoughts on him. Mm-hmm. And as far as teaching any subjects on all this other stuff, I think schools ought to just stick with reading, writing, and arithmetic and a few things that we've always taught in school.
No.
So anyway, have a great day today.
All right. Thank you, Leatrice. We'll take a break. We're coming right back. Our phone lines are open at 356-9397, 1-800-223-9397. You can email us, talk@wdws.com. Back in a moment. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. We're taking your calls on an open line during this segment of the show. And Deborah's up next. Hi, Deborah.
Yes, hi. I'm calling about the... I would like to congratulate Centennial for winning the state championship, but I'm a property taxpayer, and, I mean, it's nice that they won it, but however, I think that we should take that money. Our school buildings and things need a lot of work done to them. Give it a ring to me. I don't think that's necessary, because I think we should put money toward getting better facilities for the kids to attend classes in, you know, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done on the school buildings, and that's more important than giving the kids a ring.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons, that need for work on the school buildings is one of the reasons that people voted for the sales tax increase.
Thank you. That's the only reason I voted for, because personally, I wasn't for it. I mean, I have one grandchild in school in Champaign, but giving them a ring, to me, that's a waste of my money, because we need to do more work on our buildings.
Yep. Well, thank you, Deborah. I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Call again sometime. Thank you. At the school board meeting, there was a lot of conversation along those same lines, I think. Yeah, I was not at the meeting, but we had a reporter there, and I read reports of the meeting. And one of the things they said was that they're now going to be working on a policy of what to do in the future. Well, maybe they should have had that policy before they decided to do this. I don't know. Listen, I'm all for Centennial. It was one of the great experiences that you can have in a community to win a state championship like that. Jefferson also won one. And Arthur Culver, the superintendent, said at the pep rally when Centennial came back from winning the championship, they had a rally over the high school, which we carried here on this station, and I heard Ed Bond ran over there with his handy little equipment and got it all set up. And Dr. Culver said, in the state of Texas, you win the state championship. That's where he came from, of course, was Texas. You get rings. And if they don't do that in the state of Illinois, and evidently they don't, that Unit 4 would make sure they got rings. And, of course, that drew a big round of applause, so they were... He was kind of on the hook for it right there. And then the discussion at the board meeting, and then they eventually voted it in. Dave, good morning.
Good
Hello,
morning.
Dave.
How are you?
Good. What's up?
On regard to the rings, I think that it's a good idea that the kids signify this thing with rings, but I think maybe it should have been treated in the same fashion as class rings. Individuals have to buy their own class rings. So I think if the school were to make it possible for them to get a good price on these championship rings, the individuals will probably appreciate them down the road, but they'd be better appreciated if they bought them for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay, appreciate that thought, and we go to Eric. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Jim. Number one, don't connect me with Mr. Craig from Monticello. He's mean-spirited.
Well,
we have our differences of opinions. No, I was the other day. On this, just one real quick correction. It's not Dr. Culver.
That is correct. That is correct.
So, we were thinking it was going to be Dr. Culver when they decided to pay him $250 or whatever he's making, and I think that the guy that worked for there before he was about $90,000. I think his name was Maines. We got the whole Texas Mafia.
That's right. I just want to agree with you that okay. he said he was going to work on his doctorate and would have his doctorate soon, but he doesn't have it yet.
That's for sure. Take care.
All right. Thank you. And Craig, not the Craig, I'm told. Hello, Craig.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I was calling to let your callers know that if they have a concern about the Centennial Chargers receiving their state championship rings, Mr. Culver can answer all those questions if they would just call the Unit 4 School Board and ask to speak to him. He is more than willing to talk to any callers to answer any questions they have or concerns.
Well, if he would call and tell me, then we a whole bunch of people could hear it.
That is correct, but if they would like to call...
What's the deal? I mean, we've given the facts about it, haven't we?
Yes, you have, and I'm kind of against it. I feel that if they want the rings, I have no problem with that. I just feel the athletic department and the booster should pay for them out of their funding.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only concern. I believe it's great that they want to wear the rings and be proud of the accomplishment that was done. I just feel that the athletic department or the boosters should fund it out of their funds, not just the general school board fund.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you, Craig.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the call.
Have a good morning.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, one item here that kind of fits in with the Blagojevich story is that Michael Vick hopes to play the reality game as well. Hear about that? He's talked to producers about launching an unscripted program. They proposed it would be a documentary, kind of a series that would follow Vick beginning July 20th. That's the day he is scheduled to be released from federal custody. And it would show him trying to make amends for his past. He's serving a 23-month sentence for dogfighting conspiracy. And they hear that Vic has agreed to a television documentary deal that will pay him $600,000, but he wants more money than that. Because the guy, I guess, is broke and needs the cash. So we'll wait and see if Blagojevich gets his show and Michael Vick gets his. The world gets even crazier, doesn't it? On DWS in Champaign-Urbana. Welcome back to hour number two of Penny for Your Thoughts. Got a lot of business to transact in this next hour. We're going to talk a little after 10:30 to Bruce Weber about the big event coming up tonight where the men's and women's basketball teams play the wheelchair basketball teams over at Huff. That starts at 6 o'clock. It's always kind of fun. It's called the Ultimate Basketball Challenge. So we'll visit with the coach a little bit after 10:30. In the studio with me during this segment of the program, I'm proud to introduce Carol Lewis. She is with the National Council of Negro Women Incorporated, and she is the president of the Champaign County section of that organization. She's here to tell us a little bit about the organization and about an event that they have coming up. Carol, good morning. Nice to see you.
Good morning. It's nice to see you, and thanks for having me here.
Yeah, nice to have you here. I'm anxious to learn about your organization. This is an organization, I understand, from a national standpoint anyway, that's been going for how long? Back in the 1800s?
Oh, no, 1935.
1935, mm-hmm. Okay.
It was formed actually in 1935 by Mary Bacall Bethune, who was a great teacher and scholar at that particular time.
Well, I'll tell you where I got that 18. She was born
yes.
in 1875.
That she was. Yes, she was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she was very well known within the Washington, D.C. area and very active in the political scene there as much as she could. But she saw a need in the community there in Washington and New York that for minority women and so forth. And so she formed the National Council of Negro Women. She called together several prominent women in that particular time and era to form it. I think at that time there was 28 women that was in the original meeting. She has a very, very long legacy with us because our motto is leave no one behind, and that was her motto at the time.
So that was the national organization started them, but it has now branched out all over the country?
Yes. We have sections all over the country, sections of community sections, but also college sections and so forth within the United States, and also a few over in Africa and around. Mm-hmm. We are also affiliated, or I should say accredited. We have a status as a non-governmental observer at the United Nations, and as a member, we are also a member of the U.S. Committee for the Economic and Social Council, which goes along with our mission statement to harness the power of African American and other minority women to ensure access to and full participation in the socioeconomic political system, which impact upon the quality of life for all persons. As far as membership in our here at the local level.
Tell me about the local section.
Okay, we were formed here in 1981 by a lady called Odessa Hudson, who saw the same need within our community for minority women and so forth. I think at that particular meeting there was 50 women who came together at Bethel Church, and my mother was one of the founding members at that particular meeting.
Well, she was. She kind of handed it down to you.
Yeah, huh? She really did. She passed away in 2001, but she was a member until she passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you just a little bit about here. As I said, we're a nonprofit organization here in Champaign County, and we have given to everything that we make on any moneymaking or anything like that goes right here in the local community.
So that's one of your goals, is to raise money and see where the need is and pass that money along to those other organizations.
That's right. We've helped Crisis Nursery, Martin Luther King Scholarship, to Cotillion every year that they hold. We've given to AXO, to Parkland College for Kids. I could go on and on. The organization Men's Safe House and the Women's Safe House that we have given to. We've also given to individuals who have some needs.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of fundraisers do you have? How do you raise this money?
Well, in the past, we had usually two events each year.
Mm-hmm.
One was called our gala, and the other one was our Mother's Day brunch. But we saw a need to do some changing this year. And with the way things are economically, it's hard to go to the community to ask for a lot of money right now.
Sure.
So what
there
we
a lot
did,
of people in the community asking for money.
That's right.
For their own organization.
You're right. And so we realized that. And so this year, instead of having two affairs, we combined them into one. And instead of having the gala in February that we don't normally have, and the Mother's Day brunch we normally have in May, on May the 2nd, we're going to have what we call Living Legend program, where
Living Legends.
Mm-hmm, we're going to celebrate the lives of five women this year, and then next year. This is our first one, by the way, so
uh-huh.
We're kind of like stumbling through this to get this. And what these ladies represent in their community, they are pin women who are over 80. This year we chose the age 80 and over, and so next year it may be different, but this year is what we decided to do,
80
and over. Our oldest one is 93.
Uh-huh.
And these ladies, I can give you their names.
Oh, I'd love to have their names.
Yeah, they are.
And maybe you can tell me how they were picked as well.
Pearlie Hill.
Okay.
Alice McNeil. Theo Oliver. Dora Jameson. And Leola Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
They were nominated by members within our group this year. And each one of them has a sponsor of one of our members. These ladies have been, of course, you can tell, over 80. They've been in this for a long time, and that's quite an achievement right there. But they have been active in the community, in their churches, with their families, and we call this Living Legends, Unsung Heroes.
It's kind of like a Hall of Fame, then,
that's
isn't it?
Right. And they'll be added to each year. We'll be doing something different, adding different names in there and honoring different women. And but this is our first one, like we said, and so we started this smaller so we could get understand what we're doing and see how it goes across.
Did you say there's about 50 or so
mm-hmm.
members
yes.
in your section?
Yes, each section mm-hmm. has to have a charter from the national.
Mm-hmm.
In order for us to keep our charter, we are supposed to have 50 members, and we're about right at that.
Now you have this is a the National Council of Negro Women, but you have whites in there,
yes,
as well, right?
Yes, we have quite a diverse group. Actually, we have professionals, non-professionals, homemakers, we have doctors, we have quite an array of people in there. It's not just, say, a, quote, professional, you know, group. It is a group of women who have the same values and commitment to their community and to
black
helping.
Or white or whatever,
black
right?
or white or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we have reached out because, one of the things, it really was always open to anybody all the time. Mm-hmm. And part of our qualification, we say for anybody, is just be a lady, a woman, and have that desire. It's open to anybody, any religion, any whatever. We welcome anybody into our group, and we do have quite a few now. And we're
working
at that.
You were telling me that even men can be, what, an associate
yes.
member?
So,
or something?
Yeah, there's an associate component that a man can join if they pay their membership fee, and they can also join, too. So it's just not... We have really branched out. We've kept the name National Council of Negro Women, but we are for the community, for anybody who is of need, and we don't discriminate.
We were talking about that earlier. I think there's a certain, some people would probably say, well, why don't you say African American, or why don't you say black or whatever, but I think there's a certain equity in having a name for a long period of time like that, that if you start changing your name, then people get confused.
They really do, and I think that for me, and for I think most of our memberships, even it still stands for what it stands for, and we do recruit anybody, and we actively recruit, you know. But I think keeping the name, it's the best thing to do, because people know that name, and that's we're proud of it.
Carol Lewis is our guest during this segment of the show. We'll keep her for a few more minutes. We're talking about the National Council of Negro Women. She is the president of the Champaign County section of that group. How does one go about becoming a member? In case somebody's listening this morning and says, hey, that sounds like a going group, I'd like to at least explore becoming a member. How would they do that?
We meet every second Saturday at Salem Baptist Church in Champaign.
Uh-huh.
And anybody can come, is welcome to come to any meeting. If they just want to come to find out what we're about.
Just show up?
Yeah,
huh?
Just come. We do have recruitment. At Champaign and Banner Days, we are out in the park and recruit members at that time. And anybody, or they can call me or any member of the group, and we'd be glad to send them an application. There is a membership dues of both local and national. The national goes to the national and the local stays here. And those are the monies we use in the community. That's what we get in local dues, plus what we do on our money-making projects.
Do you want to give a phone number, or if you're
yes,
not comfortable
yes,
doing that?
Yes, yes, yes. My number is 351-6174. You can call me anytime. I'll be glad to hear from you anytime. If you want to volunteer for anything or get information or anything like that, my phone is open phone.
Now,
believe me.
What about the May 2nd event? Can anybody come to that?
Yes, that's open to the public.
Should you call you about that as well?
You can call me for tickets, or we have a ticket chairperson, which is Ruthie Hillsman.
Okay.
And her number is 356-0396. You can also ask any member of that you know of that's a member of NCNW. They will have tickets. Call me anytime. We also have a post office box of 963 at the post office if they want to write to the National Council of Negro Women. Post office box 963, Champaign, Illinois, 61821. Yeah. They can write to us if they would like to. But right now, since our tickets are, we're getting close to the event,
better if they would call.
And I'll give you the prices of the tickets now.
Okay.
The event is May the 2nd from 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock at Hanford Inn and Suites on Cunningham in Urbana, which is formerly Park Inn.
Mm-hmm.
The tickets are $30 for adults, $10 for children 12 and under. If you want to get a table of eight, it's $240, because some people want to get a table and sit together,
sure.
So they will get a whole table together. Yeah. And if you know somebody wants to come, you can sponsor somebody else to come. But this is open to adults, and children, the whole community. We would love to fill up the place.
Well, thank you, Carol. I appreciate you coming by. I think we'll get out some good information. I kept those phone numbers in case somebody calls to ask me what the numbers were again. Your number is 351-6174.
That's correct.
Then the lady for the tickets would be 356-0396.
That's right.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you have a terrific organization. You're doing a lot of good work, and it was good at getting to see you this morning and learning a little more about it. And if we can help you in any way and publicizing any events that you might have, just let me know.
We appreciate it. And our next meeting is, by the way, is this Saturday.
Oh, this Saturday.
At the 18th at Salem Baptist Church at 3 o'clock. Everyone is welcome to come.
Okay. They can learn a lot more. They can get an idea of what the organization is about at this meeting.
That's right.
Carol Lewis has been my guest. We'll take this break. We're coming right back. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. Have the news coming up here in just a couple of minutes. After that, we'll chat for a few minutes with Bruce Weber and talk a little bit about the big show tonight. The Illini HQ.com has a lot of stuff about last night's event, which was the banquet. Tonight, the Ultimate Basketball Challenge at 6 o'clock over at Huff. We'll let Bruce tell you all about that. Let's see. Eric Olson says, if Culver was so sure that they deserve rings, then he should have paid for them himself out of his huge salary when he found out the state did not provide these. Let's see. What else we got here from Ron? Ron says, I thought I heard that Urbana High School or Middle School won the National Chess Club Championship. Actually, it was a University High School. Do you think these students got more than a certificate? I don't know. That's him saying I don't know, and I don't know either. So what do we got here, Ed? We got a list of the games that the Big Ten Network has announced as their prime time football schedule. 8 games, 2009 primetime football schedule feature the grand opening of Minnesota's brand new TCF Bank Stadium, the first ever Thursday night game at Indiana's newly renovated Memorial Stadium, and Wisconsin's season opener. Schedule also includes 4 intra-conference matchups in October. The Big Ten Network president, Mark Silverman, says this is our strongest primetime schedule to date. When you couple that with the fact that there is always an added air of excitement for night games, we couldn't be more pleased. So, what do we got for Illinois? Illinois and Illinois State. This will be at 6 o'clock Central Time when Illinois hosts Illinois State at Memorial Stadium on September the 12th. So that will be a 6 o'clock ball game. As will the Illinois-Indiana game on Saturday, October the 17th. And you told me the Missouri game started at what time? 2:30 in the afternoon for Illinois and Missouri. 10:31, time for the news headlines with Ed Kelly, more open line, and Bruce Weber after that. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. The phone lines are open, 356-9397, 1-800-223-9397. You can email us, talk@wdws.com. Former Unit 4 board member sends me an email that says, in defense of Arthur Culver, there is no requirement stipulating that he achieve his doctorate as part of his employment with Unit 4. That was originally going to be a requirement, but it was the board's decision to have Mr. Culver focus his attentions on the issues surrounding the consent decree, and that pursuing his doctorate would take away from that directive. So, there you have that. It is no longer a requirement as part of his appointment that he has a doctorate degree. I was talking to you about the Varsity Men's Glee Club earlier on. There is a meeting that is coming up. It'll be at 3 o'clock April 25th in the Choral Rehearsal Room of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, preceding the Varsity Men's Glee Club Spring Concert. And Dr. Barrington Coleman, who heads up the Glee Club, will meet there along with current and past members of the Glee Club, along with the Dr. Carl Kramer and other members of the School of Music Administration. There is a letter that has gone out to Varsity Men's Glee Club alums that says, we'll just paraphrase from it here, they say they're a group of alumni and former officers of the club. We're concerned that the Varsity Men's Glee Club may be facing the biggest crisis of its nearly 125-year history. The situation threatens the continued existence of this beloved organization as an integral, relevant part of the historic tradition of the University of Illinois. Then they go on to say that the Glee Club was down to 35 members at the fall 2008 Dad's Day concert, that the School of Music has a new policy implemented at the beginning of the 2008-2009 academic year, under which a U of I student cannot elect to try out for the Glee Club. Instead, any student wishing to sing in any chorus at Illinois must audition before a panel of music faculty. And then that person would be assigned the student to whichever chorus the panel feels is the best match for the student's talents and capabilities, not on the basis of his personal preference of the student. The School of Music now considers the Varsity Men's Glee Club to be a third-tier choir within the school. Tier 2 is the concert choir. Tier 1 would be the chamber singers. Under the new auditions policy, every member of the Glee Club, as well as every other choir, must re-audition every year and is subject to being reassigned to a different choir, including a higher-tier choir if the singer deemed to be too talented for the Glee Club, and so on. One of the things that they're talking about here is the fact that non-music majors should be exempt from this arbitrary assignment policy and should be allowed to try out specifically for the Glee Club. They should not be subject to being assigned to a different choir because they are, quote, too good for the Glee Club. It seems reasonable to me that if you want to be in the Glee Club and you're not a music major, that you're just like an engineering student or any student for that matter, then you should audition for the Glee Club, and if you're good enough, then you would be in the Glee Club. You wouldn't have to be subject to all this other rigmarole. Anyway, if you want to know more about this, you can go to a website, which is www.savemensglee.com. Savemensglee.com. It's got all that stuff in there that I read, plus some other things as well. And it suggests that you get in touch with the people over at the music school, and that you also contact the chancellor and the president. Greg says, though, I heard you talking about the Men's Glee Club in the March of Kalani. Don't bother to call Joe White or anyone else at the U of I. White stood back and did nothing while the chief was run out of town. The chancellor is a joke. Maybe Bill Ayers could come to town and threaten to blow something up. If you want anything done about the U of I, you need to put pressure on the governor, the guy who is now the president pro tem of the Board of Trustees. And Greg goes on to say, today is tax day. Be sure you pay your taxes. Millions of illegal aliens are counting on that. Well, let's see what Pam has to say. Pam said, I didn't know until a couple of years ago that Parkland students are in the Marching Illini. I think that is great that they give them that opportunity. That is right, Pam. I know some Parkland students in the U of I Marching Illini, and they love a great opportunity for them. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. Hey, I've been listening to you most of the morning, and I've heard you talking about Dr. Carl Kramer, how everyone should get a hold of him. I was wondering if you had a phone number, because I have the phone number for his office if you need it.
Why don't you give it to me? Yeah.
His number is 244-2676. And I also have his cell phone number if you'd like that.
You have his cell phone number?
Yeah.
Well, why don't I just keep it with the office number? 244-2676.
Right.
That's the man over at the School of Music that's ahead of the administration, right?
Right. I got that out of the faculty staff phone book.
Well,
right in there.
I'm sure that's the right place to get it. Thanks very much, Brian.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. We'll take a break. We're coming right back. Phone lines open at 356-9397. You know, one interesting thing about Blagojevich is that he's real quick to quote famed authors and others after being arrested. After he was arrested on, back on December 20th, in his first public remarks after his arrest, he invoked Rudyard Kipling. If you can't keep your head when all about you, they are losing theirs and blaming it on you, don't deal in lies or being hated, don't give way to hating. And then, after his January 9th impeachment, he cited Alfred Lloyd Tennyson's Ulysses. One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will, to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. Wonder if he's going to pick up any new slogans down in Costa Rica. And after his arraignment yesterday, he quoted Winston Churchill. This is a famous Churchill quote. We've heard this one many times, but here's what he said. This is what Blagojevich said. Now, this is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end, but it is, perhaps, the end of the beginning. Now, they're going to drop this guy off in Costa Rica. Maybe he'll just stay there. What do you think? People are writing all kinds of stuff about this today. You should check it out and see. Check it out and see in all the papers today. Here's a very interesting story I'll get to in just a little bit, but we're going to talk to Bruce Weber here for a few minutes. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I am doing just fine, sir. How are you? You got a big night tonight, right?
Yeah, we had a big night last night at our banquet, nice celebration of the season, honor the seniors, and tonight kind of the finale of our basketball year. We got the ultimate basketball challenge. A few years ago, the wheelchair programs came to us and said, well, how about playing us? And, you know, we were a little hesitant at first because it's a little bit rough. But we decided to do it. It's I believe, our fourth year, and it's been a great experience. A lot of fun and great exposure for the wheelchair program. And all the proceeds go to supporting the wheelchair program and Coaches Versus Cancer. And so just a good event for everybody.
This is a chance, too, for people that still haven't gotten their autographs or their photos or whatever to get over there and do that, too, huh?
Yeah, kind of the last time. We're going to open the doors at 5:30. Hopefully have everyone available, you know, right after that. Our players, Coach Law's players, are part of it. The pictures and autographs maybe that you've been kind of waiting for. And it's a good family night. It's $5. You can't even go through a movie for that. It should be, pretty quick and easy and fun. From 5:30, the gates are open. Game will start around 6. Should be over a little bit after 7. And they'll have some autographs probably, it's very casual and laid back. Even during the game, you might be able to get autographs or right after for a short time. The guys should be around. Just as I said, just a fun, relaxed evening.
I see in this celebrity free throw shooting contest that Joe White's going to be there. This Michigan guy, you're not going to let him win, are you?
And he was pretty good last year. He got in the finals. He must have practiced it.
I'm counting on you to beat him.
Oh, that it's a little different, and that's one thing I could actually do if I could stand up and do it. But we're shooting him out of the wheelchair. It's a little bit different. A little bit of luck. Hopefully I can fare a little bit better and we can keep President White out of the finals.
And you got some of this money going to the American Cancer Society, as you mentioned, this Coaches Versus Cancer thing, right?
Yeah, and we've done great supporting that. I appreciate everybody in the community that has supported the American Cancer Society, Coaches Versus Cancer. And I was at the Final Four. I'm on the national committee for that, and It looks like we're going to be sixth in the nation this year. We dropped out of the top five. Notre Dame edged up in front of us a little bit. But, you know, I think that we didn't have the pink T-shirt night this year. That kind of pushed us up. But we're doing great, and especially in this difficult time, it's great to still have tremendous support for that.
Well, last night, Chester Frazier have to get a U-Haul to take home all that hardware that he won?
Yeah, well, you know, the Matta one's easy. That, you know, he won that by a landslide. He's won it the last 3 years. He plays the hardest usually. Actually got picked for the Inspiration Award, Kenny Battle Award, and, you know, he kind of felt that Bubba Chisholm, our walk-on, and, you know, Chester got the award, said, "Where's Bubba?" And he walked over and gave it to Bubba. So that was a nice gesture by him, and I guess it, you know, shows, you know, what somebody like a walk-on can mean to a team and how our guys felt about him. And then he won, of course, the MVP at the end, voted on by the players, and that was pretty much a landslide. And I think you saw it when we didn't have him in the games at the end. We were a different team.
Yeah, he said that he voted for Trent. He said he didn't vote for himself. He voted for Trent.
He voted for Bubba for inspiration. I think he voted for Trent for MVP. And Trent won the Courage Award, and I teased him because, you know, he was pretty soft when he got to our place. And, you know, to get the Lou Henson Courage Award, taking the most charges, that says a lot for a kid, how far he's come. And you know, those seniors, Calvin Brock, Sixth Man of the Year, you know, all those guys did really well. Mike Davis, most improved, voted on by the coaches. I think that was, you know, not an easy vote, but he definitely deserved it. There were a lot of guys that improved. I think that was the key to our success. And then Tisdale free throws, you know, he won the free throw percentage award, and Mike Davis also rebounding. So all the awards and accolades and a lot of fun. I think our seniors did a good job up at the podium, too, thanking everybody.
Well, Ed, Bond put some stuff up on Line HQ that I was reading last night, had some of your comments and some of the seniors and so forth. One of the things that I was very interested in was what you had learned or what Coach K had said to you. Could you repeat just a little bit of that for the people maybe that weren't at the banquet and haven't gone to the...
On Monday night, we were up in Chicago. They're honoring Jerry Colangelo, NABC and USA Basketball, and... we had a little reception. He was going to be the man of the year. It's all part of a reading program, providing funds for a reading program in the Chicago Public Schools. Actually, all my staff and myself went to Tuesday morning, went out into public schools and spoke to some of the grade schools about reading, the importance in education. And it's also tied in with the Olympic movement to get the bid for Chicago in 2016. And but that night we were standing there, you know, talking, and one of the Coach Katie brought up, "Oh, God, you guys were the most improved," and I couldn't believe how all your guys improved. And then I was standing with next to Coach K, and he said, "Man, your guys play hard, and you guys play defense," you know. So, you know, that's coming from a coach that I think everybody respects, was our Olympian coach, the gold medal coach. And so I think, you know, people appreciate nationwide what we did. I think sometimes, you know, we lose a close game or that, you know, we kind of worry about that, but we don't look at the big picture of how much our guys improved and how hard they played. And, you know, hopefully we can get that out of them next year again and we can make some more strides.
Coming from Coach K, he's not well known for throwing around compliments like that. I mean, if he told you that, he meant it, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. He just, you know, it kind of hit me. It took me by surprise. Man, your guys play hard. You know, and that's one thing I know they pride themselves in doing and playing defense, and he's always done it, the great success there. So it was a nice compliment for our guys.
Hey, Coach, thanks very much, Bruce, for your time this morning, and good luck tonight. I hope a lot of people show up because you had about 1,000 there last year, maybe some more than that tonight, I hope, at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it would be great. We tied in our Orange Crush season finale picnic, and there are actually blue skies and the sun comes out in Champaign, so it should be a nice evening. You don't have to fight the rain and cold, and you know, hope we have a good turnout. And you know, somewhere in the next couple of weeks we'll try to get on with you and spend a little time and just kind of recap all the season and what's going on in our program in the future.
Yeah, I'd like that. Anytime you're ready, let me know, will you?
Hey, very good. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Bruce. Bye-bye. Bruce Weber talking a little bit about last night's banquet, and also tonight the 4th Annual Ultimate Basketball Challenge. It's tonight at 6 o'clock, and as you heard him say, at about 5:30, they'll open the doors. The basketball players will be there. They'll be available for autographs. At about 5:45, the Orange Crush, the cheerleaders, the pep band will also be there. And, of course, they'll be playing. We should mention Gillette Law. Her team will be there as well as Bruce's. And the two internationally known wheelchair basketball teams there as well. That's all tonight at Huff at 6. A break here. We're coming right back. Well, the thrill of the grill. It's time to head outdoors for smoky goodness. And Rebecca Mabry gets some tips from a champagne grilling enthusiast. And columnist Tom Kasich finds that U.S. Representative Tim Johnson's earmark request for area projects are a little different than in the past. All that in today's News Gazette, on sale at nearly 500 locations in central Illinois. For home delivery, call the News Gazette at 1-800-660-READ or go online to news-gazette.com. Thanks to Carol Lewis, the president here locally of the National Council of Negro Women. Tomorrow we'll have the folks on from Busey at 10:30, but we'll have an hour and a half of open line before that. Then on Friday, Gail Roth, the executive director of the Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation, will be here just after 10 o'clock. But as always, plenty of open line here on Penny. Thanks for your calls and emails today on WDWS in Champaign-Urbana.